Well, good morning, church. It is good to see you all in the house of the Lord on this morning. And before we begin, I don't mean for this to sound as crazy as it might come off. But I am liking you all more and more. Not that there was any form of dislike. I mean, I've only been here 6 months, and we're all getting to know each other. But last week, you know, it was a pretty rough weekend for a lot of you all. And I perhaps shouldn't say why, but you all know why it was rough for you all. Well, my family and I, we go home, and we watch the team that I like, and it started off very bad. And so I started getting all of these text messages. And what made it more funny is some of these messages were coming through Stephanie. And this doesn't apply to every message I got. But I couldn't decipher whether or not folks were checking on me because they really cared about how down I was, or if they were kind of rubbing it in a fun way. But either way, I laughed about it, and I said, I like this group of people. But obviously, I'm happy. We'll see what happens so far. Talk to me after today. In all seriousness, I like you all, not just as a result of those funny messages, but you all have been gracious to me and my family. And so I appreciate being you all's pastor. And you'll hear more about that during the congregational meeting. Amen. I have a word to preach. And so with that being said, if you're able, I'll ask you to rise. This morning's sermon comes from the prophet Habakkuk. We'll look at chapter 2 and verses 1 through 4. I referenced Habakkuk last week, and we'll spend a little bit of time with this prophet on this morning. So I will read chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. I'll pray, and then afterwards you can take your seat. This is what the Lord says through the prophet. Says, I will take my stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower and look out to see what he will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint. And the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets so he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him, but the righteous shall live by faith. Father, we come now to this portion in the service where we are looking at your word. And Father, we thank you for the earlier part of this service, and we pray that you have been honored through the songs and the preaching and the various other aspects of our sermon. And as we come now to your word, we pray that by your spirit, you will speak to us. If we need encouragement, provide it. If we need to be challenged and humbled, provide it. We pray, O Lord, that your word will indeed feed us on this morning. We thank you for it. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. My title for this morning's message is simply put, A Vision Meant to Inspire. A Vision Meant to Inspire. Last week, we were in Paul's letter to the Romans. And in that letter, Paul referenced this portion of scripture that we will be looking at this morning. And so this portion of scripture was important for the Apostle Paul in his time, and I believe that it is important for you and I in our time. Amen? So I referenced the context a little bit last week. Let me just refresh in your memory, and for those of you all who might not have been here, perhaps this will be helpful. But Habakkuk, this is a portion of scripture that falls in the section known as the Minor Prophets. And in case you are not familiar with that phrase, know that that does not mean that his writing or the others are not important. It is simply referred to as the Minor Prophets because their writings are fairly short as compared to some of the other prophets who are referred to as the Major Prophets. Their writings are long. These writings and prophecies are short in terms of paper. And so Habakkuk falls in the Minor Prophet section. And not only that, but Habakkuk is living just prior to the Babylonian exile. And he is living in a rather interesting time, And you will see this throughout his letter. I will encourage you, as a matter of fact, if you have some point today, you can read. It's just three chapters, not very long. But within it, Habakkuk, it's a dialogue between the prophet and God. They are having, so to speak, a conversation with one another. And it is a very interesting writing. I said last week this is probably my favorite of the minor prophets. But nonetheless, I think anyone can benefit from what is being communicated. So Habakkuk is living in a time where God's people, they are not, at least the majority, it is believed, the majority of God's people are not living according to their covenant responsibilities. The Lord had given his people these laws and these statutes, and the people were called to abide by them. And they were to do so as a result of their faith. But nonetheless, a lot of the people were not doing that. They were out, and many of them were being oppressive. Some of them, it is believed, were worshiping false gods. A lot of the people were just living foul. And by the way, I was almost guilty of something that I loathe in preaching. You know, I'll often hear sermons where the pastor is talking to the church, and the church always, or in most cases, falls in the good guy shoes of Scripture. And for me, and I'm not saying I'm the only preacher, obviously, but sometimes we have to see ourselves in the bad guy's shoes. And so I will say, just before getting into what I was originally after, that we as well need to be careful that we are walking in the ways of the Lord. Yes, we are saved by faith, and we'll come to that. God is gracious, and he is merciful, but that is not a license to sin. Amen? Christ has paid the price for my sin. Salvation is mine. I am looking forward to the new heaven and the new earth in which, as a result of Christ, I will reside in. But that does not give me the freedom to go out and do the things that are contrary to the ways of the Lord. Amen? And that was what was happening to a lot of the people in Habakkuk's day. Many of them thought because they were a part of God's covenant people and the laws were theirs, the prophets were theirs, they could claim heritage to Abraham and all of the mighty miracles that they would have heard about. They thought on some level that it was all good. And yet, they were not living according to the ways of the covenant. And so Habakkuk, in his letter, he begins with a couple of complaints. And this is not a part of the text that we read this morning, but you can jot it down. In the first chapter, you start off in verses 1 through 4, and I won't read it for you, but know that that is his first complaint. And in essence, he's saying to God, as I said last week, and I say it again, Lord, your people, where have we gone wrong? He says, the law is paralyzed. In other words, as I've said, the people were living foul. And this troubled Habakkuk. And this is not to say it troubled him alone. There was more than likely a remnant of godly folk with him. But nonetheless, this troubled the prophet. And I've said this before in a previous sermon, and let me say this again. It is my prayer for me, and it is my prayer for us as a church, that we lament sin. We lament it when we see it in our own lives. We lament sin when we see it in the lives of those that we love. Wherever it is, may the Lord give us hearts that are affected when we see sin running rampant. And Habakkuk is troubled. He looks out and he sees God's people not behaving as God's people. And as such, he goes to the Lord and he makes this complaint to the Lord. That's his first complaint. And in chapter 1, and allow me, I know this is a lot of context, but it helps with my passage. And the Lord actually responds. And again, some of this you will have heard last week, but just bear with me. The Lord responds in chapter 1, and he in essence says, yes, my people are living foul. And by the way, I am going to discipline them. And his discipline will come as he raises up the Chaldeans. We would refer to them as the Babylonians. And by the way, this is a reflection of God's power. The Babylonians did not go and invade God's people simply because they had the might to do so. They were instruments in the hand of God Almighty. And so to know that our God not only has, so to speak, control over his church and his people, but know that he can control anything is an encouraging thing to know. But in this context, this made no sense to Habakkuk. Habakkuk, this forms his second complaint. His second complaint is also in chapter 1. There's a lot going on in chapter 1. First, God, your people, they're living foul. This is not good. What in the world is going on? God says, you're right, and I'm going to discipline them, and I'm going to raise up an army, a nation of people, and they will come in, and they will discipline my people on my behalf. And then Habakkuk says, Lord, this doesn't make any sense. Why would you do something like that? And what's interesting is the Lord doesn't give a full-fledged answer if you read the rest of Habakkuk. He gives glimpses and portions of an answer. But as it relates to Habakkuk's complaint, it is not a full-fledged answer. It's almost like, you know, I came up in a household that was very similar. Whenever I had the nerve to ask or question a parent, I didn't always get the answer. On some level, it was, I'm the parent. Trust me, I know what is best for you. And on some level, you saw that in Job's writing. You see this in Habakkuk. The Lord does not fully answer, but he does give a glimpse of hope to Habakkuk and the godly. And this is where Habakkuk comes in chapter 2. He's waiting and he's seeking an answer from the Lord because the Lord, again, has been dialoguing with him up until this point. And the Lord answers him beginning in verse number 2 of chapter 2. It says, and the Lord answered me, write the vision and make it plain on tables. In Habakkuk's day, and not only in his day, but prior to his day, the Lord often spoke through visions to his prophets. He would often come to them, and it could be via a dream, or again, they could be awake and just enter into a trance, and the Lord would communicate to them, and then they would go out and communicate what it is that the Lord had said to them. Sometimes it's written down, other times it's simply spoken. But in this passage, Habakkuk is commanded to write down what it is that the Lord will say. And if you move through the rest of Habakkuk, there are five oracles where the Lord is letting it be known that he is going to deal with the Chaldeans, the Babylonians as well. But nonetheless, Habakkuk is encouraged to write down what the Lord himself is about to say. And he says, I want you to write it down and make it plain, make it so that everyone understands it. And why? Still in verse number 2, so that he may run who reads it. So that he may run who reads it. What that in essence is getting at is the people on some level, they would have heard the prophecies of Habakkuk and how God was going to come and discipline. And by the way, Habakkuk, it's possible that he was living fairly close to Jeremiah's day. And so the people would have been hearing about something coming that was not good. And what's interesting is you have some godly folks who are also going to share in the discipline. For example, Jeremiah was not one of the, not to say he was sinless, but he was not one of the ones who was out living contrary to the ways of the Lord. But despite his righteousness, he suffered in the consequences. Not to the degree for which the others would suffer, but he felt the pain being a part of God's covenant people. And Habakkuk would not have been the only righteous person. There would have been a remnant, and this remnant would have been asking, well, what does this mean for us? If the Chaldeans, if the Babylonians are going to come and do to us what the Assyrians did to our relatives, what does this mean for us? Do we simply shut it down? Do we just stop church? Do we just call it a day and go home? Well, writing the vision was meant for those who would go through this difficult time. And whenever they saw the vision or read the vision, it was to inspire them to keep walking in the ways of the Lord despite the trials that would come. And so those that read it, again, despite what they see with their eyes, devastation, destruction, they would see this oracle and they would be reminded that we can continue to serve the Lord because the Lord will see us through. And he goes on, for example, in verse number 3, for still the vision awaits its appointed time. It's going to come. And it hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. You've heard the phrase, and this is something I've also said before, you know, God's timing is not always our timing. We want something, we pray for something, we want it tomorrow. And sometimes it takes God, out of his own pleasure, out of his own will, a lot longer than what we're anticipating for. And I said this using other examples. When God's people was delivered from slavery in Egypt, they did not immediately go into the promised land. When David was made or anointed king, he did not become the official king the next day or the next year. When Jesus came to the earth, or when the Son of God came to the earth and took upon himself flesh, he did not immediately go to the cross to die for our sins. It took time as he was a baby first and grew up. And so it is with God's vision. Oftentimes God would show up and he would write something for the people who were in need or who were confused or who were discouraged or even who might have been living wrong, and some of his visions were meant to chastise. But nonetheless, God would say something, and oftentimes it would take a while for it to happen. And so God's people, the godly remnant, along with Habakkuk, they would have heard this and they would have been encouraged to know that despite their trials and their tribulations, despite the fact that the vision will not perhaps come into play immediately, know that it will come and you should wait for it. And I confess, this is often not easy to hear for those of us who may tend to be impatient. We need our food tomorrow. We need a job ASAP. We need X, Y, and Z yesterday. Well, know that if God has promised us something, if God has given us a guarantee that he is going to do what he says he will do, though it may not appear as though it's happening, it will happen. And we should be encouraged by that. So this vision, again, is meant to inspire those that regardless of what they're going to face, that God's word is true and what he says will come to pass. So we should continue to live in hope and trust. And in verse number 4, let's look at it before we close with some application. It says, behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him. And this is rather a strange placement of this verse. Behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him, but the righteous shall live by his faith. Most commentators believe that there is a contrast right here between the Chaldeans, who, as you read forward, will be judged by God as well, and God's people. So though the Chaldeans will think that they have it made, excuse me for a second, gotta preserve this voice for vision casting and chief cheering. So though the Chaldean may think that they have it made, again, this would be a mighty nation. This will be a nation that steps on the scene and lets its presence be known by conquering neighboring people. And as a result, they will be puffed up thinking that they are the quote-unquote top dog. God is saying that is not how his people will live. Instead, the righteous shall live by his faith. In other words, and I've somewhat alluded to this, it will take faith for God's people to hear what Habakkuk is saying, to believe it, and to live despite what they're about to go through. This is like with Jeremiah, for example. Jeremiah, the Lord tells Jeremiah to go and buy land, buy some property. Lord, buy property and you're about to destroy this place? That was an indication that God was going to bring his people back into the land. And of course, Jeremiah did it, and it took faith. It took belief, trusting that, okay, God, this doesn't make sense, but because you are God, I am going to trust you and believe you, and I am going to do what it is you've called me to do. And this is what would be required by the people in Habakkuk's day. I say again, let us not be the people who are bringing God's wrath. Let us not be the people who claim to be Christians, who claim to be churchgoers, who claim to be ministry leaders. Let us not think because we have these titles that we can go out and live any kind of way. Oh, I'll show up on Sunday, and during the confession of sin time, I'll confess my sins, and then everything will be okay. And then Monday and Tuesday comes, and I'll go, and I'll just do whatever I need to do. And then Sunday will come, and I'll confess again. No, 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 no. Let that not be us, for the Lord does discipline. But let it be known also for those in our midst who are walking in the ways of the Lord. This does not negate that we will go through trials and tribulations. This does not negate that we will suffer from time to time. But the good news is God has provided us a vision. And his vision is in his word. And if we stay true to his word, if we look to his word, it will encourage and enable us to navigate life despite what we see going on. We see foolishness in the news. We see foolishness in our streets. Perhaps we see foolishness in our own home. We see sin and unrighteousness, and we wonder what in the world is going to happen. Well, God has told us what's going to happen. His son is going to come back, and he is going to claim his church, and he is going to make all things new. And if you believe that, if you trust that, that vision, that knowledge, that guarantee shall encourage us and inspire us to continue to walk in the ways of the Lord here and now. We can do this because this is what our Savior did. I want you to think about it like this. God often does things, says things, commands things that are contrary to our preferences. God did not have to use the Babylonians to discipline his people. He chose to go that route. He chose to use the Chaldeans to discipline his people. And again, it made no sense to Habakkuk. God chooses the cross of Christ to redeem you and me. And again, we perhaps have heard that so much that it might lose its luster, but that is, if just think about that for a second. My sins, my brokenness, my distance from God was fixed by a cross. And specifically, the Son of God going up on that cross. I don't know why that is the way for which God chose, but that is the way in which the Father chose. And Jesus goes to the cross. And I will say, I think I might say it every time I get a chance, but this was not an easy thing for Christ. Remember his cry upon the cross, Father, or in the garden, if there is another way we can do this, Lord, let it be. But nevertheless, not my will, your will be done. And so he goes to the cross because he knows he has a good father. And he knows that his father is in control. And by the way, you will have to read later on in the scriptures, but the Lord holds true to the vision that he gave to Habakkuk. God's people would go into exile. The Chaldeans will reign for a moment, but yet God would remove the Chaldeans from their heights, and God's people will be brought back into the land. And likewise, just as Jesus went to the cross and to the grave, the Father raised him from the grave and seated him on high. Well, brothers and sisters, we will soon go into some vision casting for this church, practically speaking. But irrespective of that, let us not lose sight of the vision that we are provided in God's word. God calls us unto himself, and he provides the means for which we go to him, and he provides that through the Lord Jesus Christ. And to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ by faith is to walk in the ways of the Lord. We love one another. We care for one another. And we do the things that God has called us to do. And we do them despite recognition. We do them despite the pain and the trials and the tribulations that will come. We do them by faith and out of love for the one who has redeemed us. And the good news is the Lord says that he will come back and he will make all things new. And so, brothers and sisters, the vision that Habakkuk gave to his people in his day was meant to inspire them, specifically to walk in the ways of the Lord despite what was to come. And let us also not only look at Habakkuk's vision, but let us look at the vision of the Lord as told in the scriptures. And let it inspire us to walk in the ways of the Lord despite what is to come. And as we do, may he be honored and may we be edified. Amen. Father, we bless your holy name. For you are indeed holy. And Father, as we looked at your word this morning, we first ask that you will have mercy upon us if we have played the way or the role of those in Habakkuk's day who were guilty of great sin. Lord, never let us be in a place where we think just because we have really been redeemed, or we are members of this church, or we are leaders of this ministry, that excuses our walk. Forgive us if we've done that. At the same time, Father, may your word, may your vision encourage and inspire us to trust you, to believe in you, to walk in the ways you would have us to walk. Because, Father, you have given us direction in your word. And, Father, we thank you that you have done this. And, Father, may we be a church while we think often about new and perhaps fresh ways to serve others and to honor you, may we not lose hold of the vision that is given to us in your word. We thank you for your word. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Again, if you're able, I'll ask you to rise for our closing song.